The Cap and J-Hood podcast is sponsored by Tito's Handmade Vodka. Go to titoshometowntales.com and hear the stories of Chicago's defining sports moments through the lens of your favorite ESPN 1000 hosts. That's titoshometowntales.com.
Chicago, this is your new morning routine. Cap and J-Hood. Follow Cap J Hood on Twitter and Instagram. Stream the show on the new ESPN Chicago app. Watch the show on Twitch. Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago. Now on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports. David Kaplan and Jonathan Hood.
Woo! Bring them out, bring them out, bring them out, bring them out. Woo! Bring them out, bring them out.
So we've made a bunch of news on this show over the last couple of days. Jed Hoyer was on the show on Monday, and you could tell the frustration in Jed's voice when he talked about not being able to get contract extensions done with the big three of Rizzo, Baez, and Bryant. And he was very direct in his remarks because he was not happy that guys said they wanted to be here, yet his quote was, Hoodie, correct me if I'm wrong, a good morning to you, my friend.
Yes, sir.
He said guys would say they wanted to be here, but their actions did not indicate that. And he was very disappointed, very frustrated at this narrative that the Chicago Cubs didn't make fair offers. And then Anthony Rizzo joined us yesterday and pushed back on that in a big way about Jed.
I'm kind of confused on, you know, why I say that. Sounds like a bad breakup and the person saying that they're fine when they're not fine. But, I mean, listen, you have – when it comes to the guys on our team and what we did and Gold Gloves, Silver Sluggers, MVPs, Rookie of the Years, good people, those things cost money. And I know it comes down to a business, and when you want your cake, you want to eat it too. I mean, that was just kind of how it seemed, and I think it can all speak for itself that there's a common denominator that no one signed, and whoever wants to dig in that can, but I just think that, you know, we had such great memories there that to come out on air and say that just doesn't really make sense, but it is what it is.
And so we were trying to figure out what the common denominator was, because that could be a number of things. I believe that is ownership with Tom Ricketts and or Jed Hoyer or Theo Epstein. To me, I think it's all encompassing. I think when he says common denominator, he means the front office. But we've got to be able to look at it realistically. The pandemic was in the way of anyone being able to get a monumental deal or a difference-making deal, whether that's Rizzo, Bryant, Baez. I think that was the whole deal, Cap, because I think that they could have come to some common ground until the pandemic came. And then all deals were off, all bets were off. And so both sides, whether it's the ownership or whether it's the players or Rizzo, that feels like, well, there's a common denominator. There's a reason why that these play. Well, the reason why it happened is because Theo was slow to the trigger to be able to let some of these guys go, to be able to implement new talent, new offense. That's all on him and Jed, period.
If they had done a better job drafting and developing, and so some of that obviously falls at the feet of Jason McLeod, who's a good dude, mm-hmm. but has a bad draft record. That's just a fact. Bad draft record. If they had done what they set out to do, and if you remember back Theo's first press conference, mm-hmm. we want to become a player development machine. Mm-hmm. That was the quote. Am I wrong?
No, that's what he said.
So where was that?
Well, all of a sudden, the Cubs ended up being the Red Sox. Whatever, if you have an open checkbook and you can be able to implement talent and be able to pay for talent and put them in there in a place to start with Leicester. So you're able to have that open checkbook, try to get players in. And so that worked because you had A, sustained success, B, you got a World Series championship out of it. I'm saying that the Cubs should have been able to be at least in the mix for two. And it never felt like after 16 they did. We come to find out, Cap, that every organization is not the Dodgers, in which you can be able to be in the mix and have a huge payroll and also develop talent at the same time.
Correct.
If you the organizations that can do that the best are the ones that's closest to being a successful team and a World Series caliber team.
Well, I heard somebody yesterday call in, I think it was on Waddle and Sylvie, that said, well, look at the Yankees, all they spent. They do not go in the luxury tax. No. And Brian Cashman confirmed, yeah, I was told by management, we're not paying the tax. That's the Yankees.
Right.
So is not just here. I'm not defending it because I think if you're in it to win it, that is, in this market, should be paramount. We'll spend whatever it takes to win.
Now here's where we look at it. I think we identified this yesterday for those that missed it. Captain, we identified that the Cubs went into the tax in
18 and 19,
right? Mm-hmm. So if your ownership, you say, well, you know, you should always be in the tax. You should always be in the luxury tax to try to do more. The Cubs didn't do more, though. That's the whole thing. Like, as if you're Ricketts, you say, well, we went into the luxury tax twice, and we still couldn't knock down another championship. So why should I do it again? It doesn't mean that you have less of a commitment to winning, but you did it twice.
Well, I think they would have done it a third year or potentially done it in 20, but then the pandemic hit.
Maybe not. But if he didn't, I wouldn't be blaming Ricketts for that. You know, how many times you got to continue to go into the tax and you get the same results if you're not going to change the team?
What did Jerry has always said, I'll pay tax if I think we can win.
Right.
I'm not throwing good money after bad.
Right.
That team was not good enough. I know everyone's disappointed. They got to tell their kids, yeah, that Baez jersey, we better get you a Mets one now. He plays for New York. What? The Rizzo jersey and that kid that was the guy who was there to shake your hand when you rang the bell, done with team. He plays for the Yankees now.
Sure.
It's like the movie in Moneyball. Well, I am starting Pena. No, you're not, because he plays for Detroit now. And Bryant, he plays for San Francisco now. That team wasn't good enough. That doesn't fall on the owner as much as the decision-making that was made, either the players they drafted, the players they didn't develop, or the signings they made like Jason Hayward, Brandon Morrow, Tyler Chatwood. I mean, add up that money.
Yu Darvish.
Right.
Yu Darvish, too. Like the pandemic shortened Yu Darvish was nice to see, but I never thought.
He's struggling now.
I didn't like the signing from the beginning because I thought that after we saw him before he's with the Cubs, I said he's done. And then he goes to Los Angeles, and then he's hiding and ducking away from the Los Angeles media because he thinks Dodgers fans are against him and coming after him. Like, he's done. And so he gave you a glimpse, but that was it. But the bottom line is, of all of this, Cap, is that there's finger-pointing here, and I understand that the emotions are still raw because of the trades that were made, but it seems like Jed Hoyer did a little bit of a step back. Didn't he? I mean, after being on with us, I think he felt maybe remorseful for what he said.
So both the Tribune and the Sun-Times and every outlet on social media, and we'll talk to Jesse about it later, Cubs president Jed Hoyer has been in the spotlight not only for trading his three superstars, but also for comments he made after the deadline on ESPN 1000. I think that's us.
That is us, yes.
And he said, quote, and you heard it, we played it before, every one of these guys would say they wanted to stay in Chicago, we wanted to be a Cub. But then we would sit down to do negotiations, and that wasn't how they acted, Hoyer said, on the Cap J. Hood Show on ESPN 1000. On Tuesday, he spoke at Coors Field in Denver to try to defuse what has turned into an ugly war of words. I think we've always had a rule about not talking about negotiations in public, he said before the game. I think we've done a really good job over the years of honoring that. Monday on the radio, I got asked a direct question, and I sort of did express my frustration in never getting deals done, and I think that frustration comes from a good place. It comes from a place of wanting to get deals done, wanting to keep those guys here. He also said that I wish I had stopped and ended the sentence earlier.
It's how you felt, man. It's how you felt. The one thing that we'll never be able to get a read on is if Jed felt differently about the organization than Theo. Theo had full autonomy to do whatever he wanted to, and Jed was part of that front office too. But maybe, and we heard what Jed said. Jed said if you make a couple of wholesale changes offensively, that doesn't change the fortunes. That's what he told us too, correct? He says you make a couple of moves, that doesn't necessarily mean that the team's better.
Correct.
That's what he told us.
I have been told by people over there.
I think he's wrong.
Depends what the moves are.
Well, it'll be smart moves to get better offensively, to change the parts. We just know that that team, the way it was constituted, was not good enough offensively.
After 18, when you failed in 17, when you failed in 18, and your president, who I adore, think he's great. If I bought a team, I'd love to have Theo at the top of it. When he says our offense is broken and you do nothing then to change it, and then 19 happens and you do nothing to change it, and then a pandemic happens, that's a whole different set of circumstances. You should have already made changes.
Well, that's all. I mean, the changes they made instead is to fire a couple of hitting coaches and a manager.
Correct.
That's good enough?
You're right.
Clearly not.
You're correct.
Okay.
You are correct. Let's go to the phones, because they're already hopping. 312-332-3776. Lewis is in Morton Grove. Hey, Lewis, what's up, man?
Good morning, gentlemen. Number one, first thing foremost, let's go White Sox.
They're rolling.
Yes.
Go, man. Let's go. This is a White Sox city, baby. But anyway, I'm just trying to understand something because I'm a little lost and I don't know what I'm missing. Obviously, for the Cubs, it was time for them to get rid of everyone and rebuild this. It wasn't working together after 2016. But now it's all about finger pointing, right? You heard Chris Bryant, the first person that said he didn't see any contract or he didn't see any anything that was for him to look or argue or whatever.
Lewis, that is not true. He was offered an extension, and Jed said that.
I know, but that's what he said, right? That's what Chris Bryant said.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Anthony Rizzo, when Anthony Rizzo was on, he said there was a common denominator. All three of them didn't sign, right? So the way I took it is that Anthony Rizzo saying also that he didn't receive any offers, right? That all three of them didn't receive any offers. Now, am I wrong for taking what he said like that? Or because the way you guys are looking at it is way different than what I am. So I'm just trying to.
How's it different, Lewis? Lewis, how do you see it differently than we do?
Because I think you guys are saying that Jed did offer them a contract, and but they didn't want to sign because they didn't want to be here. When I'm thinking about it, the way I'm taking it is that they did want to be there, but they didn't receive any offers. Which honestly, the best thing to do was not to sign these players again, because I mean, after 2016, everything was going downhill anyways. It's better for them and their careers. It's better for the White Sox as an organization for them not to be together anymore.
You mean the Cubs? You mean the Cubs?
I do mean the Cubs. Yeah.
All right, Lewis, we got to roll. Appreciate the call. Thanks. Appreciate it. So they made offers to everyone. Now, maybe not at the level those guys wanted.
But then the pandemic happened and everything got shut down.
Correct.
That's no excuse. That's a reason.
It's a fact.
From their standpoint.
Correct.
And it's the Cubs and other teams that stopped the negotiations because of the pandemic.
But now, I think the insulting thing to Rizzo was it was lowball offers. When he says things like gold gloves, MVPs, rookie of the year, silver sluggers awards, those things cost a lot of money and they want to have their cake and eat it too. It sounded to me like, yeah, they made us offers, but they weren't fair market offers. And you would think they would take care of us for all we provided for them. And you can blame the pandemic, but then you look at teams like the Padres and the Yankees, right? And the Mets. These are big market teams that are spending money. It's hard to feel bad for the Cubs, quote unquote, biblical losses, when you look around the league and other teams are making the same offers.
But here's the question. Are you paying, when he said rookies of the years and MVPs and gold gloves, those things cost money and a lot of it? Are you paying for past performance? I'm not. I'm paying for what I think you could bring to me going forward.
But that's easy to say from the outside looking in. When you're the player, you don't want to think your skills are diminished. You want to think you're worth that money.
All right. as we watch the Cubs break it down and rebuild. The Bulls are going in the other direction by building up the roster. They made another big splash yesterday. Our basketball guru, my guy, Jonathan Hood, tells us, was it a good move?
The Cap and J Hood podcast is sponsored by Tito's Handmade Vodka. Go to Tito'sHometownTales.com and hear the stories of Chicago's defining sports moments through the lens of your favorite ESPN 1000 hosts. That's Tito'sHometownTales.com.
This is Cap and J Hood. Enjoy the show each morning in your Instagrammies. At Cap J Hood on Instagram.
This is Chicago's home for sports.
ESPN 1000.
That's why I say amen, my shot.
No shot. With Cap and J Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.
That's why I say amen, my
shot. Shot or no shot is brought to you by PointsBet Sportsbook at Hawthorne Racecourse. PointsBet Sportsbook is now open. Download the PointsBet app right now and then stop by Hawthorne Racecourse. Don't even have to get out of your car if you don't want to. Just be geolocated there and register your account. Good morning, Daniel.
Good morning, gentlemen.
What's up, Danny?
What up, Hood? How you doing, man?
I'm feeling like I'm about 45 today.
You look like you're 23.
That's not the case at all.
And when I say that, I don't mean of years of age. I mean Michael Jordan.
Oh, MJ.
The GOAT.
And I took offense to that.
Chilling.
What are you doing there?
I'm chilling.
You realize you just stopped us dead in the tracks.
I mean, we were doing just fine, and then you just... Chilling. Look at me. Take that.
Let's go. Chop it up.
There's that white dog you were talking about across the street. See it?
Yes. No, that's a different one. Sorry. Good try, though. Danny.
It's a white dog, though, isn't it?
That's not.
Isn't it a nice white dog?
It's not being shepherded around by a stunningly beautiful woman.
So do you like the dog or do you like the woman walking the dog?
Both.
I mean, why don't you just be honest with us?
I'm being honest. Both.
That's cheating.
But I want the dog.
Oh, we're going to get to cheating soon enough, boys. All right, your Chicago Bears practiced at Soldier Field yesterday. It was their first practice in pads. Matt Nagy continued to stress that things are going in the right direction for rookie offensive lineman Tevin Jenkins. He's battled back tightness since he reported to training camp a week ago. He's missed six practices, including yesterday's first practice in pads. With Jenkins out, veteran Elijah Wilkinson had been working at left tackle with the first team offense during the first week of practice, but Wilkinson was absent yesterday because the team placed him on the reserve COVID-19 list. Mm-hmm. So that gave a fifth-round draft pick rookie an opportunity to test himself on the left side against the starting defense. That doesn't look so good, boys. So I ask you, shot or no shot? It does not matter who is under center for your Chicago Bears. If Tevin Jenkins cannot get on the field soon, this season is over.
No shot.
Well, if that's the number one most important bear for you, you might want to side on that part of the conversation, because you said if he's number one, then that's pretty key.
Thanks for knowing where I was going there, Hoodie.
Yeah. Correct, except Elijah Wilkinson played pretty darn well for Denver. He's a very solid player. I'm not telling you he's an all-pro, but he's a solid player. There's at least a backup plan there. Now, if you tell me both guys are out, yeah, they're effed.
Number one most important player on the Bears is Tevin Jenkins to you.
Correct.
But if he's out, that does matter, correct?
Oh, no doubt it matters. But at least they haven't left themselves on an island where that's all they've got.
How about that, Danny?
Like, the season's not over if he's got an issue. No, tell me the other guy goes down, then they're screwed.
Yeah, no, the season's not over, but I just want to make sure that we're looking at the importance of Tevin Jenkins. And you put all your eggs in the Tevin Jenkins basket, a rookie, that we don't know whether or not he can really be the productive player that he can be. I know it's important, but he is a rookie nonetheless, right?
Correct.
At what point do we sound the alarms over Tevin Jenkins' back tightness? Like, this is an ongoing issue.
I mean, I would think we sound the alarm bell, A, if the other guy, who's a veteran, can't go as well. He's on the COVID protocol list. We don't know if he's positive or just close contact or whatever it is. But if Tevin Jenkins can't play by the first preseason game or at least practice that week, maybe they hold him out for the first preseason. If he can't get on the field in the next 7 days, that's a bigger issue.
He's missed six practices worth of reps.
Agreed.
I don't want the moving around of the offensive line. I know that's always part of the NFL every season. I'd like to have a locked in offensive line that's as healthy as possible.
Agreed.
I'd like to have that, because how much as in the Nagy era has the offensive line been on the shuffle over and over again? So we'll see.
All right, gentlemen, as you guys know, if you miss a little of this show, you miss a lot of this show. To recap, on Monday, Cubs president of baseball operations, Jed Hoyer, took some shots at the Cubs core that he traded away for not wanting to be here. Then yesterday, our guy, Anthony Rizzo, joined the show, and he responded. He said, they want to have their cake and eat it too. So I asked you guys, shot or no shot, Rizzo's response, which indicated that the organization wanted to have their cake and eat it too and not pay for quality play, will end up blowing back in the organization's face when it comes to time to spend that money on free agents.
Oh, I see where he's going with this. Like, other teams and other agents will say, well, they didn't pay the Cubs, so why should we negotiate with them?
They lowballed Anthony Rizzo for all he did for that team and that community. They lowballed Chris Bryant, who won an MVP and a Rookie of the Year. They lowballed Javi Baez, who came in second in MVP voting.
I'll say no shot, because this is not the Tribune Company. That's what I'll say. It's not the Wrigley Company. I'll say, because it's Ricketts and the commitment to winning in the first place to be able to spend money to get to a World Series championship, I'll say that that commitment will be there. Because once you're the Dodgers, the Red Sox, the Yankees, and you're in that stratosphere, that's who you are. For them to go backwards, that'd be a shame.
I'm with Jonathan, no shot. Now, if you tell me their payroll is $70 million next year and $70 million the year after and $70 million that will be embarrassing, and it will be proven true. But in the end, if Jed Hoyer, whenever they have the next winter meetings, I know there's a collective bargaining thing going on, so maybe they don't have them next winter. Mm-hmm. Whenever the next signing period is, if they walk up to Trevor Story or Carlos Correa or whoever it is, Marcus Stroman to pitch, and they got enough money in the checkbook, those guys will listen. Nobody's going to hold it against them. Whatever. It's a bit, and let's see how the offers to the three stars we traded hold up. Does Javi get $200 million? Does Anthony get $100? Does Chris get $250? $300? Let's see.
Danny.
Gentlemen, John Lynch, GM of the 49ers, Cap's favorite team, had high praise for his starting quarterback, Jimmy Garoppolo, yesterday. He said, quote, "Jimmy's a big-time competitor. We haven't played a game yet, but in practice, in training camp thus far, he played his best football since he's been a 49er, and he's played a lot of good football. He's really playing at a high level. I don't want to talk about it too much, as I'm doing it in front of millions of people, but it's something everybody's recognizing. He's playing at a high level, and that's what competitors do." I asked you guys, shot or no shot, John Lynch's entire rant about how great Jimmy Garoppolo is just an advertisement enticing teams to trade for him.
No, I think John Lynch believes that, as far as we know, right?
I'm with Danny. Shot.
No,
absolute shot.
And here's how I would believe that. If I know that Trey Lance is performing better than Garoppolo in practice, and it seems like that's going to be the next guy, then I would say yes. I think it's even Steven right now for those two, as far as I can tell. Based on NFL Live and everything else that I'm reading, that it seems like that Trey Lance is getting it, but he still believes in Garoppolo. Now, again, if there is a deal that could be made, sure. But you just don't just trade quarterbacks just because you think Lance is all world. We don't know that yet. Let's see him in the game first.
Yeah, I'm going to say shot simply because
you're near me.
They traded their 12th overall pick, a 2022 third-round compensatory pick, and first-round picks in 2022 and 2023 for the Dolphins' number three selection, which they used to draft Trey Lance. Three number ones and a three, and you're not really planning on that guy being the starter? No shot.
We'll see.
He's trying to build up his value so he can move him.
We'll see. I think that you just got to be very close to the vest on this. Unless Trey Lance is just completely blowing up camp and it just is really wowing that 49ers team, I don't see that yet. Got to hold on to veteran quarterbacks that you believe in.
Danny.
All right, gentlemen. Yesterday we talked about Evander Kane, the NHL player, who basically had a gambling problem. His wife said that he gambled on his own team. It's turned into a huge controversy. Obviously, he and his wife have split up. Well, now there's more controversy in his life. He is now getting back together with an ex-girlfriend. Her name is Mara Teagan. She's a model. His wife claims that he is cheating because although they are getting divorced, they are not divorced yet. He insists that he is not cheating. His friends support that he is also not cheating. So I ask you guys, shot or no shot, although Evander Kane and his wife are on the outs and are headed towards divorce, he being with an old fling is cheating.
He's not living with the wife, correct?
I do not believe so. He is actually on vacation with this Mara Teagan.
See, this is where we left off yesterday with this guy. He was not around. His ex is pregnant?
Correct.
Okay, and she claimed, like, you're away from us. I'm pregnant and you're on vacation. So there's definitely a separation there, but it's not a divorce.
And he hasn't talked to this Mara Teagan, his ex, in 6 years.
Have they filed for the divorce? I think they had.
I don't know if that is the case.
But if they are filed or living in separate residences and are getting divorced, that's not cheating.
They're just estranged right now. What does that mean, Cap?
It means that they are on the outs. I don't know if the legal paperwork had been filed, but it sounds like they are not a couple anymore.
So if they are on the outs and he's back with an ex, is he cheating? Shot or no shot?
No shot.
Shot. It's not official yet.
Dude, divorces take years in some cases.
Well, I mean, in this scenario, it sounds like that he's doing his thing. She's pregnant. He's doing things away from the marriage, even though he's still married. They're still legally married, Cap. Now, again, we can talk about legal or moral, right? Morally, it's wrong, but legally, that's still cheating. It's still doing something away from your wife that you still have a relationship with.
First of all, he sounds like a horrible human being. He's been traded with issues in the old city. Now this one comes out and says that he's been gambling on his own team. Like, he sounds like a bad dude. Bad person.
Yeah, that sports gambling guys, those guys are the worst.
Betting on their own team?
We don't know that.
I said that's what he's been accused of by her.
Yes, allegations.
Like, allegations of... He's filed bankruptcy for gambling debts. He hasn't paid to take care of his wife and child. Like, he sounds like a bad person. He does. But if they are going to divorce court, that can take years, especially with all the issues he's got financially. That can take years. So, no, I don't think that's cheating. I just think he's a bad guy.
What do you think, Danny? I mean, do you believe he's stooping, as you would say in the old country?
No, he's still living at home. Different story.
Yeah, he's definitely. You don't go on a vacation to Europe with an ex-girlfriend and not stoop. That's just pointless.
Did you hear the Kaplan caveat, though? The Kaplan, like, if he's not living at home, it's okay. If he's still living on the roof with his soon-to-be ex, is that cheating?
Well, that's cheating, then. That's different. If they're still going to keep up the pretenses of the marriage, that's different than...
What if he just got his clothes there, just hanging out, and, you know, he's got a comfortable bed, living in, you know, sleeping in different rooms?
Well, what if, like, not everybody's an NHL player that they can afford to have two different residences? What if, you know, it's the average guy or gal that's getting a divorce, they're estranged, they have to still live under the same roof because neither of them can afford to live somewhere else.
Until the house is sold.
Correct.
And all of
that. Is that guy or gal cheating?
No, if they
filed, emotionally, physically, everything the marriage is over except on paper.
That is not cheating.
So there's a lot of marriages like that.
Correct.
There are a lot that stay in that marriage.
Stay in it, right. Then there's no divorce imminent. We should ask the people, and like, is that cheating if you're no longer around your pregnant wife and you're with your ex? Is that cheating?
Not if they both agreed they're getting divorced. No. If he's still living there and they're still cohabitating and saying we're still married but we're working on it, that is cheating.
Is there papers? Did she file yet? Did you say, Danny?
I have not seen anywhere she filed. All I can find is that they're estranged. I think, guys, what we have here on our hands is an impromptu you make the call.
Wait a minute now. Hold on. That's not in my format. Hold on.
IBM you make the presents... call. You make the call.
Sometimes, Harry, honey, you know, you just got to go with the flow.
Well, this is not in my format here. Well, apparently, is it cheating if Vander Kane is out with his ex from, what, 5-6 years ago?
But they haven't talked in 6 years.
But yet they're still married. That's not right. And you're right. There's scumbag-like tendencies when your wife, even though you're going to have a divorce, is pregnant.
And his teammates, several of Vander Kane's teammates, have said what they think of this situation. They told The Athletic yesterday. We'll have all that, and you make the call. Next.
You make the call.
Harry.
Next.
Take that.
The Cap and J-Hood podcast is sponsored by Tito's Handmade Vodka. Go to Tito'sHometownTales.com and hear the stories of Chicago's defining sports moments through the lens of your favorite ESPN 1000 hosts. That's Tito'sHometownTales.com.
Scratch your morning sports itch.
This is Cap and J-Hood, our new morning show.
On ESPN 1000 and the new ESPN Chicago app.
Yesterday, what are you laughing at?
Danny, just putting lines in my ear about you.
What did I do?
You dancing.
That was the most unrhythmic dancing I have ever seen. I love you, Cap. You're the guy. And everybody out there, you could watch us on Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN1000Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
That dancing is why middle-aged white men have the reputation that they do.
You know what?
Now, you see, partner, I don't say anything. I just watch. And, you know, I'm just waiting to get back in the segment.
And I just kind of push it, Johnny, a little bit into it. Just in his headset. Come on, he's dancing. Look at him. Look at that dancing.
It's like, that's fine. Hey, listen, man. You just go to any random event at Ravinia, you see the same dancing.
Like, no question. There's a beat, and all you've got to do is bob your head to the beat, and you look somewhat good. Your head was bobbing at all the wrong times.
Well, there's two types of dancing. There's the dancing to the lyrics, which is wrong. You're supposed to dance to the music.
Correct. Mm-hmm.
In that spot, there was no lyrics.
So I was dancing to the music.
Yeah.
But at the wrong times.
You know what? It amused me. I was in a good place.
All right, JR, give me another song. Give me the next song. Give us whatever is next in the rotation of...
No. Now he's raising the roof. That died in two.
That was not
when
raising
did
that
die? The roof. 1998 raised the roof.
This is raise the roof. I was doing this. That's not raising the roof.
Well, what was it that you were doing?
The wax on, wax off move is also not very in vogue when it comes to dancing.
That was this not is, wax this, on, wax
this,
off.
This is not. This that's that does not work. All right, give me the next bad Mike Thomas song. What else do we have? What else
great.
Do we have?
Now, great. Now we're in for it.
How about this one? The tongue out, the moving around. Oh, God.
The patty cake with thin
the
air.
The patty cake with the hands. It's just crazy.
Another bad Mike Thomas song.
Yeah, the bad quarter in the world,
yeah,
sir.
Wait till we go into that meeting after the show.
Hi!
And he closes the door. What was that shot?
What's with the music? Hi! So that, like, hey, man, I'm just telling you. You know, just another quarter wasted in the Mike Thomas Wurlitzer. That's what that is. Just another wasted quarter. This song's going to be good. Nope. Another wasted quarter.
Wow.
So there you go.
So the Bears practiced at Soldier Field yesterday. It was family practice.
Uh-huh.
And there were a lot of people who are friends of mine that were texting me. They were out there. Greg Braggs was out there. Our guy. And Justin Fields.
Yeah.
He's our guy. He's a great dude.
He didn't like me.
He loves you.
No. Go ahead.
So Justin Fields was making the lap around from the field to the first row, high-fiving fans. And every single time he touched the ball, whether it was just a simple little out route, a screen pass, just playing catch, people are cheering and screaming his name. So I will tell you this right now. from the heart, he's the most popular athlete in Chicago sports today. Rizzo, because of everything he meant to the community, the cancer community, everything. Rizzo was on that list. Patrick Kane, absolutely on that list. Justin Fields is the most popular athlete today in Chicago sports.
Just based on the practice at Soldier Field, is that what you realize?
No, the outpouring of love and the insanity that ensued after Carlos Nelson said, how exciting is this? My Chicago Bears select Justin Fields.
Well, exciting in that we see something new and fresh from the Chicago Bears, because we always remember that the Bears drive the bus in the city, no matter what. It brings people together. Cub fans and Sox fans, they don't like each other, but they will come together for one common goal, and that is Chicago Bears football. I get that. However, I just find it fascinating that you have turned a blind eye to your guy, Patrick Kane. You know, the first guy that would get the table at Chicago cut. What happened? What about Kaner? The best American-born hockey player.
Well, no, that's a different topic.
Same.
No, absolutely not.
So Kane's not the most popular guy in Chicago.
No, what I'm saying in that vein
is... So much of your text messages with Kane. You're going to get cut off here pretty soon from him.
No. If you said who's getting the table, Kane's been in this city since... What year did he get drafted? 07, 08? Mm-hmm. And he's won 3 Stanley Cups. He, like... We were using Chicago Cut as the example. He's been there a billion times. The owners had Rizzo and all these different guys there. I said Patrick Kane, based on his stature in the city, would get that table. Justin Fields hasn't paid those dues yet. I'm talking about among the fan base, just Chicago sports fans. I think he's number one. Hockey's not at the top of the list.
What does that say about the Chicago Bears that Fields, who just got here, is the most popular? What does that say about the Bears?
Yeah, what happened to Khalil Mack?
First of all, he's a really, really wonderful player.
Don't call him wonderful.
He's a tremendous player.
Wonderful. He's an impactful player. I'm not arguing you. I'm just asking you, boy, what does that say for the Bears that even before Fields was here, there was no one that you could point at and said, that's a popular player?
Dude, until we got...
Allen Robinson
here and...
Like David Montgomery.
Traded for Khalil. And I know... Sylvie did this topic years ago. Mm-hmm. What jersey are you buying for your kid? And the number was 75, Kyle Long. Mm-hmm. He was the most exciting player we had, and he was a freaking offensive guard. That's how bad things were.
Well, that's strange. Definitely likable, clearly. But, I mean, you got to really be firmly entrenched to see what he does for you to be a fan of his. Because he's a guard. He moved around the offensive line.
Correct.
But boy, that was personality even more so than football prowess.
Correct.
Because he's in the line, right?
Correct.
You got to really key in on to see what's going on there.
Correct.
Because he's not a wide receiver, quarterback, running back.
Correct. Yeah. So I don't believe it's a White Sox player because 60% of the city are Cub fans, even though their team stinks.
You're just going to diss Tim Anderson in front of me, right?
I'm not dissing him. He's a wonderful player.
Don't call him wonderful. He's great.
He's a wonderful player, and he's a good dude, and he's great to the community, and he's built his life here with his family. His kids go to school. He's not like a guy, get me the first flight back to Florida or Arizona. He's here.
You're going to diss a brand new right in front of me, right?
Not dissing him, but what I'm saying to you is...
I mean, as much love as Rizzo gets, here's Abreu, one of the toughest guys outside the football team, and he gets no love?
He gets love. He's not at the top of the list. He's just not. You're going to have 60% of the city are Cub fans, and their team stinks, and all their good players are gone except for Wilson Contreras. The White Sox have a great team. They may win the World Series. Hockey is never, ever... going to be at the top of the list for the casual fan.
You're going to diss Lance Lynn right in front of me, huh?
And the Bulls, they don't have a guy yet that you go, he's number one in the city, like Michael was or Derek was.
I mean, Zach LaVine's an all-star, and he's representing the country in the Olympics. I mean, that's big time. He's doing such a nice job that it seems as if players want to come here and play with him.
Does that matter?
It matters. He's on the list. He's not number one. There's no scenario a guy who's never played in the playoffs is number one in the city.
Man, from your list, we are bereft of quality you know, difference-making players or likable players if Justin Fields, who has not taken the field yet, is number one. I'm excited for Justin Fields, absolutely. But, man, I mean, it looks like the Bears are a bunch of faceless guys that couldn't take that number one spot. That's not good.
Here's why I disagree with you, and I always use my wife and my mom as the barometer, right? Mm-hmm. If I took a picture to my mom or my wife, and it was Justin Fields without a Bears uniform, helmet, or anything, and I said, who is this? They would have no idea. They would know Patrick Kane for sure. They would definitely not know Justin Fields by face. And I think right now the majority of the city falls in that category. If we went out on the street, Michigan Avenue's jumping like it normally is on a day in August, and I held up a picture of Justin Fields sans bear stuff, just him in street clothes, and I said, who is this? I would guarantee the majority of the people would not recognize him by face.
Okay, I'm going out on the street in the next few days. Tomorrow we're in Vernon Hills at Buttermilk Cafe. We're going to be out there doing our show, but either Friday morning or Monday, I am going to go out on the street. I'm going to ask people, say, well, are you a sports fan? Who is that? And I'm going to show them pictures of Patrick Kane, of Justin Fields, and anyone else you want me to put there, Jose Abreu, and we're going to see what people say.
Why don't you do it in Vernon Hills tomorrow? But give a picture of Justin Fields. Ah, that's Walter. What a wonderful player he was. Ma'am, that's not Walter Payton.
Correct.
It's not?
That is not. So, I'm just telling you.
It's not?
He's the most popular athlete in town.
That's a wonderful young man. Is that James Allen?
It is not. It's Bruce Heron, the lineman.
Is that Thomas Jones? What a wonderful man.
Great actor.
No, sorry. That's Justin Fields.
Correct.
Who? I haven't seen him play yet.
I'm just telling you, man.
My daughter's dating him. He's black. Did you see this? How'd you get that picture? This is not who your daughter's dating. It's not? Well. Don't tell anyone.
312-332-3776.
My daughter's dating. See this picture? My daughter's dating.
No.
It's not?
312-332-3776.
Well, we don't talk about it in the neighborhood.
Even at me, I'm just telling you, he's the most popular athlete in Chicago. Justin Fields.
And who's number two?
It's a good question. We'll discuss that after this.